Genesis chapter 13, I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 32, verse 13. Genesis 32, verse 13, I'll read through verse 30 as I have for several weeks now. Reading from the English Standard Version, again, Genesis chapter 32, verses 13 through 30. Sermon 17 in the series, Wrestling with God. So he stayed there that night, and from what he had with him, he took a present for his brother Esau. 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milking camels and their calves, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. These he handed over to his servants, every drove by itself, and said to his servants, "Pass on ahead of me and put a space between drove and drove." He instructed the first, "When Esau, my brother, meets you and asks you, 'To whom do you belong? And where are you going? And whose are these ahead of you?' Then you shall say, 'They belong to your servant Jacob. They are a present sent to my lord Esau. And moreover, he is behind us.' He likewise instructed the second and third and all who followed the droves. You shall say the same thing to Esau when you find him. And you shall say, 'Moreover, your servant Jacob is behind us.' For he thought, 'I may appease him with the present that goes ahead of me, and afterward I shall see his face, and perhaps he will accept me.' So the present passed on ahead of him, and he himself stayed that night in the camp. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female donkeys, his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else that he had. Jacob was left alone. A man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, 'Let me go, for the day has broken.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' And he said to him, 'What is your name?' And go. I'm sorry, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And then he said, 'Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked him, 'Please tell me your name.' But he said, 'Why is it that you ask my name?' And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, 'For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Chapter 32, verse 22 and 23 say, "The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else that he had." Jacob's going home. As I mentioned to you last week, he must bear the cross of meeting his brother Esau, with whom he has conflict, and there was a promise on the head of Jacob by Esau that, "I'm going to kill you." But notice in Jacob taking everything that he had, as well as his family, his wives, children, female servants, his 11 children, and that word children could actually be son, according to the Hebrew, crossed the ford of the Jabbok, and he took them and sent them across the stream, everything else that he had. It's a pretty profound statement, in my opinion. First of all, we see Jacob again, acting as a good shepherd, the faithful good shepherd who secures the 99, as we have in the Gospels referring to Jesus. Jacob is securing all those whom have been given to him by God. All the things that he has are from the hand of God, and certainly his 11 sons and his two wives and two female servants. And for what he had with him, he took a present for his brother Esau, 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes, 20 rams, 30 milking camels and their calves, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. We must be impressed by the degree in which God has blessed Jacob, number one. I have been overwhelmingly impressed every time I've read this of the vast resources that God has given to Jacob while at the same time he is, in theory, imprisoned by Laban. God can bless you anywhere. And no one can stop God from blessing us if God so chooses to. Also notice the generosity of Jacob, willing to give everything up. One with a little more pessimistic or maybe optimistic view of this text may also say it could be interpreted as Jacob's desperation that he make peace with Esau because he's afraid for his life, and that would be true. Jacob indeed was afraid for his life. To get an idea of the vastness of this, Jacob is gifting no less than 580 head of cattle to Esau as a gift. To say that I'm coming in peace, that I hold no grudges and hope you do not as well. He handed over his servants, every drove by itself, and said to his servants, pass on ahead of me and put a space between drove and drove. And another thing we should be impressed by with this act is the fact that everything he owned, he entrusted to his servants. This says a lot about Jacob and his trust in his servants. And it also says something about his servants whom Jacob obviously trusted as well. There's mutual trust between Jacob and his servants. Everything that Jacob has, he's giving to them for their safe care. Fourthly, let me say about this taking and safekeeping all that he has is this. Jacob was willing to give it all up for the sake of reconciliation with his brother Esau. Doesn't that make a New Testament believer want to rush to think about Jesus, who gave everything that he had, his life, that we might have or be reconciled to God? Then we find in verses 17 through 20, he instructed the first as we read them, when Esau, my brother, meets you and asks you, to whom do you belong and where are you going and whose are these ahead of you? You shall say they belong to Jacob. They are a present sent to my lord Esau, and moreover, he's behind us. Likewise, he instructed the second and the third and all who follow the droves. You shall say the same thing to Esau when you find him, and you shall say, moreover, your servant Jacob is behind us, for he thought, I may appease him with the present that goes ahead of me, and afterward I shall see his face, and perhaps he will accept me. You know, occasionally in my lifetime, I've received gifts, typically from my wife, that are just so well thought out and meaningful that I'm just blown away. And I'm sure you've experienced the same. To receive 580 head of cattle from a man whom you had previously stated 20 years ago you were going to kill, seemed like that would kind of soften anyone's heart. Verse 21, 23 continue. The present passed on ahead of him. He himself stayed in the camp that night. The same night he arose, took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok, took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. Jacob was literally left alone. He had nothing but himself. And we may look at this and say, that's appropriate. Because what God really wants from all of us, or any of us, is ourselves. more than our stuff. The wisdom of God says that if I have your heart, I have everything. Jacob presents himself alone. And then the Bible says a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Let this text remind us of something. Let the divine scripture remind us that although we, in our existence in this physical world, we need to be reminded that there is an unseen world, and those who populate that unseen world, and they are, as we are, just as real. Angels. An angel. At least. I understand that the mind of some say it's a theophany, it's an Old Testament appearance of Jesus, and there's no place in my sermon this morning to argue that. I don't really think that it's necessarily germane. It's a representative of God, whomever we say it is. Here the work of heaven is involved in God's earth, God's work on earth. A heavenly being wrestles with Jacob. He picked this fight at night. I'm not sure if there was an advantage there or not. It didn't appear as if it was. But he picked this fight at night. Jacob wrestled with the man until the breaking of the day. Jacob knew he was wrestling with some divine origin. If we skip a few verses ahead, Jacob asked the man to bless him. And who can bless you unless it be a divine representative of God? Up until now, we should notice, and I hope you have over these previous 16 weeks, that Jacob has wrestled with Esau. He's wrestled with Isaac. He's wrestled with Leah. He's wrestled with Laban. And now he's wrestling with a mysterious man that we identify as an angel. I've thought about this quite a bit over the past few weeks. Some of us are just fighters. I don't know if it's you or not. I don't know if I am or not. I hope I'm more submissive than a fighter, but maybe you have a different opinion. Somebody may say Jacob can't get along with anybody. May have been true of his past to some degree. Got along with his mother. This fact does say something about Jacob's tenacity, however. The fact that he's not one to easily give up. Jacob is a fighter. There's something good about being tenacious. Holding on to what you believe until you can be made to believe something different. They wrestled all night. Well, wrestling matches don't usually last that long, do they? I think they last maybe 3 minutes, something like that. This wrestling match lasted all night. Some of us have been wrestling with some things for years. If you stop and think about it, we're still wrestling. Wrestling with our purpose. Wrestling with the will of God in our lives. Should I take this position? Should I make this move? Should I make that other move? Should I take a promotion? Should I seek another career opportunity? Verse 25 and 26 says that when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, and this is the man that Jacob's wrestling with, "Let me go because the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man touches Jacob's hip and put it out of socket during this fight. This is, as John Dumelo calls it, the touch of God. Give credit to Jacob for not having given up. Though so far, there had only been negative consequences for wrestling with this man. Jacob now has a limp. He's lame to a point. For a shepherd, that's not good. Well, I want to ask you a question. Has God touched your life? Has God touched your life? Have you wrestled with God long enough with the issues in your life? Have you wrestled with God long enough in prayer that God has indeed touched your life? Or did you give up too soon? We talked about Jacob being a fighter. Then there are some other people who don't last as long as they should. We too soon give up on the hard things in life. The hard choices of being reconciled with those that we have been separated from. The hard decisions about career and family and where God is leading me in my life and how is God to use me. Has God touched your life? Or have you given up in getting answers from God? Well, Jacob is not one to give up too soon, as we mentioned. So look at verse 26, the second clause. I will not let you go unless you bless me. That statement by Jacob often gives attribution to Jacob's tenacity and his desperation. But Jacob knows he needs help. And if you need God's help, I want to encourage you to not give up in prayer. To not give up and having your faith in God's word and seeking the will of God. Jacob's aware of the potential destruction that Esau may cause, and he further knows he can no longer rely upon himself, his tricky ways, and his cunning wit to overcome this trial. I need to be blessed by God. How badly do you want to hear from God? Keep wrestling. I should say that in reality, the wrestling match, it could have been over very quickly if the man had wanted it to. It was not that mysterious man could not, but he would not let Jacob go, as John Gill says. My friends, when God is leading your life, God will not let you go. Let me say that this is the way that God built up Jacob's spiritual endurance and prepared him for the trials and tribulations by stretching his will and strengthening his resolve. You and I must be pressed and stretched in our prayer life. You must not be afraid to wrestle with God. Come to grips with God, God's word, and what he's saying to us through his word and in prayer. You can't be built up spiritually by running away from your tests and trials and the difficult decisions we must make. Sister and brother, your tests and trials should be resulting in making you stronger. That is, if you have the spiritual tenacity like Jacob and don't give up too soon. I want to ask you again, but I'll put it a little bit differently this way. Has the touch of God changed your life? Has the touch of God changed your life? If not, you must keep wrestling. If you want the victory over your anger issues, keep wrestling. If you desire to triumph over your resentful spirit or jealous nature, keep wrestling. If you want to be freed from your fear or anxiety or delivered from your disobedient spirit, keep wrestling. Do not release your grip on God. Stay on your knees until help comes. Stay in God's word until relief arrives. Do not let go until God says, let go. Do you need a release from your controlling nature? Keep wrestling with God until God blesses you and gives you a new name. Now, verse 27 and 28 says, and he said to him, this is the man speaking to Jacob again, what is your name? And he said, Jacob, or Jacob. Then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Now, you know that in ancient times, a person's names revealed their character and their personality. It revealed who they were, in other words. A man asked for Jacob's name. It's a call to confession. Jacob's name wasn't flattering. What's your name? He answered and said, Jacob. It's an opportunity for Jacob to confess who he really is. Notice that when Jacob told the man his name and divulged his true nature, his true character and identity. You know, honest confession is humbling. But it's also liberating. Confession frees us from our pride and the weight of thinking we can and must face every foe and endure every trial alone. But confession also has a blessing tied to it. When we confess our unworthiness and our limitations as a human being, we then open ourselves up for divine intervention. This divine intervention may mean we walk with a limp the rest of our lives. Because the limp reminds us not of our weakness, but the superiority of God who is active in our lives. I would much rather walk in the limp knowing that God is actively working in my life than being able to run like a gazelle and are far from the will of God. Jacob asked him, well, what's your name? I told you my name. What's your name? Why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. The man arrives in mystery. He departs in mystery. You know, it never seems to fail. And it's true with myself also. That we find ourselves and we think we're wrestling with a man or a woman, wrestling with a spouse or a relative. We think we're wrestling with a boss or a job. We think we're wrestling with a relationship or struggling with our finances. But in reality, God is the one we're wrestling with. We've misidentified who we are wrestling with. We're trying to force our will onto someone else. And it hasn't worked. So may I ask question number 3. Do you know who you are wrestling with? How do you know God is not behind the scenes working? Shrouded in mystery and really struggling with us that God might change me and you. Jacob didn't get the man's name. Thus, the nature of that purpose of the person he was wrestling with, it remained a mystery, as I said. It's not uncommon in Scripture. Judges chapter 13, Manoah asked the angel to identify himself, and he did not. I also, as I pondered this text, wondered if there may be a hint in this text, this particular episode, a hint of the peculiar blindness of the Hebrew nation in microcosm, who have been so immeasurably blessed by Yahweh or God, But to this day, they do not know the name of the one who blessed them. They do not know the name of Jesus. So Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has not, or life has been delivered," I should say. Jacob has been changed, so he thought it was appropriate to change the name of the place where this meaningful event happened. He changed the name to the face of God. The "I have seen the face of God" statement is certainly insinuating this person wrestling with Jacob is at least a representative of God. Some say this mysterious man is like the Son of God, that is, God in human form, and that it should serve as a preview of the incarnate Christ. Verse 31 says, "The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip." Wrestling with God and prevailing will cost you something. Wrestling and prevailing with God will cost us something, excuse me. It may cost us certain relationships. Someone who may have been close may become a little more distant. It may cause us to lose opportunities that weren't in the will of God. It may cause us money or pride. It could cost us any number of things. But know for sure, wrestling with God will cost us something. What have you walked away from? What have you walked away from? But you are closer to God as a result. Jacob limped out of Peniel because of his hip. What's hurting you? What's it cost you? Let me ask another question. I'm full of these this morning. Where is your evidence that you have been wrestling with God? Jacob's hip was his evidence. What is your evidence that you've been wrestling with God? Or are you perpetually on Easy Street? Because I need to say, it is impossible to remain the same old guy or girl if you have wrestled with God and did not give up. You cannot stay the same. May I ask you, unbeliever, if there's an unbeliever listening to my voice, and I pray so, what is your name? Is your name anger? If it is, this is your time of repentance. Is your name mean-spirited? Is it jealousy? Is that your name? Are you resentful? Is your name doubtful? Spiteful, hurtful, distrustful, spiritually lost, confused. If any of these names fit, you need a name change. God can do it. Believer, what was your name? You and I can identify with this. What was your name? It's okay to say it. Tell God your name. Confess it. Even if it isn't flattering, what was your name? Jacob's name meant supplanter. But what about you? Was it anxiety? Mr. or Mrs. Anxiety? Mr. Trickster? Ms. Manipulator? Was your name Hustler? Thief, philanderer, fearful, disloyalty, disobedient, selfish. Well, Christian, let me end by saying, we, like Jacob, we needed a name change too, which describes our new identity and our new nature. If you are a believer, your new name, you're no longer called Mr. or Ms. Anxiety or trickster or manipulator or hustler or thief or philanderer, none of those things. Your new name, which represents your new identity, is called. Yes, that's your name. You are chosen. You are conformed. You are God's elect. You are forgiven. Call me forgiven. Call me born again. Call me foreknown. Call me justified by God. My name is predestined. It's redeemed. And yes, we are sanctified. And finally, you are called glorified. Because we've already been glorified and are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you need a new name, Christian, continue wrestling with God, and you can shed the shame of your anxiety or fear by trusting in Jesus. Bow with me, please, and let's pray.